Today, the low road for the Aussie has real consequences for you. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, this post covering finance and property news. The Australian dollar has fallen sharply, falling at one point to a multi-year low of 61.88 US cents. That's a level not seen since October 2022. A weak Australian dollar, which changed hands at 62.2 cents on Thursday, makes imported products such as oil more expensive, adding to domestic inflation. And whilst a weak Aussie can be seen as welcome news for Australian exporters as their goods and services become more price competitive, and for international tourists visiting Australia, for Australian tourists heading overseas, it can pose a problem in their pocket nerve. And importantly, a falling Australian dollar can also put upward pressure on inflation, meaning the RBA won't cut interest rates. So today, we want to look at why this is happening and, importantly, what it means for Australian interest rates. And the news is not good for those who are highly leveraged under financial pressure. There are multiple factors driving the Aussie lower. First, the US dollar has been strong following the Trump election win. The DXY, which is comparing the US dollar with a basket of other currencies, is at around 109. That's strong, apart from a brief high of 112 back in 2022 and its previous visit to those levels back in 2002. These moves are linked to a sharp winding back in expectations of future Federal Reserve interest rate cuts. The latest statement from the US Central Bank said that it was planning to potentially scale back the number of interest rate cuts that it would announce. Remember that currencies generally rise in value when their central banks raise interest rates and fall when interest rates are lowered. This is because international investors are looking for the best returns wherever they exist. The reason for the Fed's change of tack includes a stronger US economy than expected, more stubborn inflation, and possibly some preemptive positioning ahead of Trump arriving back at the White House in the light of tariffs, tax cuts, and his other policies. The Aussie dollar has lost much of its shine because of the gaping interest rate differential between Australia and the US as well, meaning investors earn no premium for backing Aussie bonds over US treasuries. National Australia Bank's head of foreign exchange, Ray Attrill, said the Australian 10-year government bond yield is now below its US counterpart. The return on Australian 10-year bonds is 4.43% compared to 4.57% paid by US treasuries. That unseating of yields happened in December when the Federal Reserve signalled those fewer rate cuts in 2025. Now, another factor is the sell-off of the Chinese yuan, because given China is the largest trading partner of Australia, the Australian currency is regarded as a proxy for China's growth. Chinese officials have been trying to rekindle growth in the world's second largest economy following years of weaker performance, with the property sector under pressure and skittish consumer sentiment, while its exports are under threat from hefty US tariffs if the risks of American threats to impose punishing trade tariffs do come good. China's onshore yuan weakened past 7.3 per US dollar for the first time in a year, despite President Xi Jinping's reiterating this week his pledge to bring more policy support to promote growth this year. Should Beijing defend the yuan at around 7.2 per dollar, the Chinese currency is likely to stay stable until at least the Lunar New Year holiday period, which starts at the end of this month, said Alvin Tan, head of Asian Foreign Exchange at RBC Capital Markets in Singapore. He added the caveat, unless Trump really does impose tariffs immediately after returning to the White House. A weak Chinese economy translates to a poor medium to long-term outlook for Australia's key exports, and that's likely to keep the Australian dollar under pressure through 2025 and threatening to send it to 20-year lows. The problem with the Australian dollar appears to be that there was a real wobble in the Chinese currency into New Year's Eve, InTouch Capital Markets senior foreign exchange analyst Sean Callow said, particularly the version of the Chinese yuan traded outside mainland China. It fell sharply and broke a key level, and that seems to have spilled over to weakness in the Aussie dollar. The yuan is really finishing the year on a very weak note under a lot of pressure. Third, the Australian economy is not doing well with falling growth, higher inflation, poor productivity, and weak consumer confidence. As John Kehoe from the AFR wrote recently, the story of Australia over the past two decades is a nation that has become incredibly rich thanks in large part to the China-driven commodities supercycle. The windfall to governments over two decades would be hundreds of billions of dollars, but Australian governments have blown much of the windfall from the mining boom, which may now be approaching an end as China's economy slows. The bottom line is that spending is permanently high, debt has blown out, real wages and productivity growth are weak, and despite the extraordinary quarter-century boom, Australia faces a decade of deficits. Without increased government spending in recent times, of course, the per capita recession over the past seven quarters would have also revealed a full-blown recession. But just months out from a federal election, neither political party has a substantial plan to deal with reality, even as leading economists agree that spending cuts or tax rises will eventually be inevitable. Australian National University's economist Ashley Craig says Australia has relied on being the lucky country for too long. We've become very complacent with little appetite for real reform, he says. I worry we will need a very bad period to shock us into getting our act together. And frankly, international investors can see this too. So given the weak exchange rate, how does this play into the RBA's cash rate decisions? Well, currently, financial markets imply around a 60% chance the Reserve Bank will start cutting interest rates at the first policy meeting this year in February, and are fully pricing a move by April. But economists are now expecting that the RBA's May meeting might be when cuts start. But Warren Hogan, chief economist at Junior Bank, said, I can't see how the Aussie dollar falling like this can make it any easier for the RBA to contemplate a rate cut. While the level of the currency is not explicitly a trigger for the Reserve Bank and its policy path, it could cause anguish for the RBA. Officials would certainly be talking about the currency being a reason to be careful with rate cuts, Hogan said. It certainly suggests that a rate cut is a dangerous strategy, highlighting Australia's jobs growth and falling unemployment. Mr. Hogan is not counting on any rate relief until December, and HSBC's Paul Bloxham is not sure that there will be any rate cuts at all in 2025. But central bank action could involve holding back on interest rate cuts to support the currency, or by going into the currency market to buy Australian dollars. Now, economists doubt that the RBA will publicly comment on the Australian dollar weakness for fear of further destabilising the currency. And as for how far will the Australian dollar need to fall for the Reserve Bank to notice? Well, Sean Callow says that he would be concerned that a fall below 60 US cents would erode a lot of confidence in the Aussie dollar. There's absolutely a pressure on the price of imports, and that can show up very quickly in some areas, most obviously petrol prices, he said. Mr. Callow says that if the Australian dollar were to fall below 61.70 US cents, which would take nothing, there is a risk that it could fall to its COVID lows in the mid 50 cents range against the greenback. And by the way, the Australian dollar has also fallen to 49.4 British pence, despite the UK economy also being in a slow growth mode. But the bottom line is this: a weak Australian dollar does not provide conditions for an early rate cut. And that's something that people need to factor in, given the amount of leverage we see in the markets at the moment, particularly, of course, for those with mortgages. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.